All right, we're here with another episode of We Talk Ball. I'm here with Mark Tobo, and we are doing a five questions, which I think will determine the Mavericks season. So, of course, I couldn't do this alone. My first question I'm going to ask myself and Mark is, how are these contracts? We've had a lot of complaints about how much they're paying Calderon and how much they're paying Ellis. Don't really know how much they're paying Ellis yet. I have a feeling if they say $8 million, people will be pretty happy. If they say $10 million, no. From my perspective, I have a hard time caring about cap space right now. It's kind of paradoxical in the sense that I don't care whether or not they have cap space because I've seen what they do with cap space. But the reason that I've seen what they do with cap space is all they do is get Jose Calderon or Monta Ellis for somewhat large contracts. So I can see the problem here. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, we have enough cap space to sign the people we want to sign now. We'll have enough for a center, and we won't not have enough to sign whoever the best center is on the market, because that still might be down there, which is kind of depressing. Without the Harris deal was the one that everyone was happy about, and that's off the table for now at least. But I don't really have a problem paying Calderon that much money, especially it solidifies a point guard position, which was such a huge problem for us last year, and we know how good that makes Dirk, having a point guard who can actually get on the ball. So I'm fine spending the money there. And if Mikel, or however you pronounce his last name, is qualified, if he can hold down that backup point, or Larkin can when he gets back, then I think we're set there for cheap, and I'm fine with that. For Monte, you know, he's got his problems, that's why he's available, and but there's no doubt about his ability to score. There's plenty of doubt about his ability to score efficiently, but I think that's a gamble you've got to take here. We need the offense. I mean, the only other person besides Dirk who could score was Vince Carter, so I'm okay giving Monte the money, and we'll see what Cuban can do with the roster from here.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two important points, which is, you know, one, they're not really going to be able to significantly impair their cap space next year, because they already have $20 million committed to Sean Marion and Dirk. That'll probably be coming off the books. It's $30 million, but I'm assuming Dirk will re-sign for something like $10 million. Who knows? Obviously, if they could assign these guys for less, they would have done that. They didn't do that. And I think if you think about how much money they could have saved with decent deals, instead of $7 million, $5 million, instead of $8 million, $9 million, $6 million, or whatever, it's not really enough to add anything significant this year. Not that important to me. Moving on to question two here, and I think it's an important one. Major problem the Mavs have, or had, is the 2 and 3. All right, but they just added a problem at the 1, because now Shane Larkin is injured. Who do they have, 1, 2, and 3? What do you think?
Well, Calderon's obviously starting at the 1. And I think, as of now, Mekel is probably the backup point guard. And you might see Ellis there some. Well, that's what I'm sort of very interested to see in Summer League, is how Gal Mikel handles playing point guard there. Because if he can hold that down, that's huge for the Mavericks, because they don't want to play Ellis at the point, I don't think. And Larkin will be back, hopefully. I mean, ankle injuries are tough to recover from, but hopefully he'll be back strong. At the 2, Ellis, I think, is going to start. I think it's pretty hard to argue otherwise, even though I kind of like having Ellington there. But I think they'll give Ellington a decent number of minutes, a guy who can hit the 3, stretch the floor, and play solid defense, and is still young enough to be a decent athlete. I think they'll like him, and they'll play him some. And you might see Crowder there some, too. Yeah. And as for the 3, it's Marion's job for now. Who knows what they're going to do with his contract between now and the start of the season. But they like him there. They like Vince backing him up, and they like Crowder in there if need be, even though Crowder doesn't really play any position that well. But he's got the size to be a quality 3, I think. So we'll see what happens there. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, you know, it's an interesting problem. It doesn't make sense that in this year, when they have more cap space than they had basically as long as the Mavericks have been good with Dirk, they have basically no players in any position. I mean, no matter how you look at it, either Monta Ellis is backing up Jose Calderon, which they would rather not do, or it's Israeli import, who wasn't on too many people's radar screens, or it was a first-round pick, which, you know, the Mavericks really don't like playing their draft picks often, and they definitely don't like him in a position like point guard where you got to be really smart about it. So, you know, there was this reaction on Twitter when Larkin went down that was, you know, worried, which made sense. But on the other hand, it's a strange position to be in that we're worried about Shane Larkin, who probably was not going to play much of a role early on in the Mavericks season anyway. Nobody knows anything about Mikal. At the two, I guess you have Ellington and you have Ellis, so it's going to be Ellington. But then you got all these guys, like Jay Crowder was supposed to be moving over to the two a little bit. He's an awful defender against power forwards, a good defender at the two and three. But you got your only two veterans who, besides Dirk, who are really likely to chip in, Marion and Carter defend somewhere there. And you'd like Brandon Wright, if they resign him, which I assume they will, not to have to play the five. So it's confusing and it's difficult to know. They have all of these players somewhere between two and four that they have to do something with. Obviously, Dirk's the starter. The good news is they do have the starters. You know, Jose Calderon, Ellis, probably Marion, could be Vince, doesn't make much difference. Dirk, and then nothing at the five. We're hoping something like D'Alembert happens. It's going to make a big difference, and they have to weigh things, because Calderon and Ellis, not good defenders. Crowder and Ellington, decent defenders. Not good scorers. Not good at spacing the floor. No idea about Mekel. They're going to have to find that balance, and it's not going to be that easy to do. Let's look at the third question here. Do you think they're going to get anything from these young players in general? And here's another player that we haven't actually talked about. Ricky Ladeau. Once again, feel like it sounds like a guy from the Cobra Kai. Love that quote about him from high school, that he is the worst player I've ever been associated with on a basketball court. A lot of things change after high school. Voices. You grow hair in strange places. Do you think that the Mavericks hate using young players in general? But that's all I have right now, so what do you think?
I don't think Carlisle trusts young players that much, but he's not going to have much of a choice this year. I mean, the quote about Lito was that he was the worst human being he'd ever seen on a basketball court, not the worst player. I don't think there's a huge doubt about his talent, but he's a big question mark this year. Maturity issues are, part of the reason why he dropped. He couldn't even qualify academically at a school like Providence to play, which in modern college is not really that hard. But you know, his scoring ability, well, we're gonna have to see. If he can step on the basketball court and he can defend and he can be in the right spots, then I think Carlisle will play him. You can look at Jay Crowder for the kind of rookie that Carlisle will actually play as a rookie, because he even at Beaubois he never played very much because he wasn't in the right spots. He didn't have basketball instincts. Crowder had the right instincts. He just didn't have the talent to get there. So Larkin, I think when he gets healthy, you're going to be sort of frustrated not being able to see him, because he's a guy who hasn't even been playing point guard that long, I don't think. I really enjoyed watching him in college. Lito, I think you'll see him a lot because he played at Wichita State, and he's been running a team in Israel for a while, and he was MVP, so he should theoretically.
It's a Mekel you're talking about.
Play a point guard, and I think you'll see him.
You're talking about Mekel.
Mekel, sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So you think Mekel will be good?
I think you'll see Mekel. I don't think you'll see Ludo, and I don't think you'll see very much Larkin.
Okay. Right, and a reminder to the audience, although Larkin is injured for 3 months, the season is at least that long away, so he should be back. It's just all the, you know, training camp and summer league stuff he's going to miss. Going to combine numbers 4 and 5 here into the same question. Can this team score? Can this team rebound? The major argument for why I had zero problem signing Monta Ellis is I added up the points per game from last year of every person the Mavericks had on their team, and even including Brandon Wright, that equaled 80. They did not have a lot of scoring talent. Monta Ellis changes that. But, you know, if you don't score efficiently, it takes away from other people's scoring. So where you figure everybody else might have added up to 80 without Monta, maybe everybody else adds up to 70 with Monta, and he only adds, you know, 18 to 20, you still might be in trouble. The other fact is, the only players above 6'8 on this team, I think I'm correct in saying this, currently, until Brandon Wright is signed, are Dirk Nowitzki and Bernard James, which doesn't sound great for rebounding. Marion, of course, a decent rebounder. Are you worried about one of these more than the other? Are you worried about both? What's the deal?
I'm 100% more worried about our size. Last year, if we were signed Wright, we still got killed on the board last year by everyone. Wright's not a good rebounder. Dirk's not a good rebounder. Marion's the best rebounder on the team, and he's getting older and getting worse at it. He gets, you know, 7 a game, and it's not like Dallenberg's great at it either. I think our size down low is going to be huge. We're going to get killed down low on the boards, and we're going to get killed by good offensive players down low. But I think one thing that this team does seem better about than last year is its perimeter defense. They seem to have better perimeter defenders, and I think that may cut down a little bit on the bad defense. But we'll have to see about that. As for offense, I'm not too worried. I think with Dirk there, you have an efficient scorer. You have a guy who knows how to score, knows how to be the right place on the court, and he can create space for everyone. I think Ellis has never played with a guy like Dirk who can create space for him, and he's never played with a point guard like Calderon. He can get him the ball where he needs to get it, and I think that'll help him a little bit. I'm not sure if he has the ability to become an efficient scorer, but I think that should help. And if you have him scoring around 15 points a game, which I think is ideal, Dirk scoring around 20, then I think we have enough with Carter and Marion and who knows who else to score, but I'm very worried about rebounding and defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. You know, what you'd like to hear about the Mavs roster is that they could find a way to play a good defensive unit, and that's sort of where Devin Harris came in. You know, some people say he's good, some people say he's bad. It's clear when he puts the effort in, he's pretty good. So you could have had Calderon and, you know, Ellis or somebody at the one, which meant you could do good offense or decent offense and good defense. And you could have had Ellis and Crowder at the two, good offense or good defense. You can make these choices. They have some good defenders at the three and the four. Without Harris, you know, Calderon and Ellis aren't going to be that good. Ellington gives you some flexibility at the two. I'm not sure they can do anything about playing good defense at the one right now. And they certainly can't do anything about playing good defense at the five. And that's what concerns you, I think.
I think definitely that's the case. I was really hoping we'd get some size down low. We kept signing guards, and I wasn't unhappy with that because we needed scoring. We needed ball handling, especially recently with the injuries. It looks like that wasn't too bad of a decision. But you need size in the NBA. The West is full of big men, and we don't have the kind of wings to make up for the lack of size.
Yeah, and you were talking earlier, you know, best case scenario, same on Dallenberg, doesn't make you that happy.
No, he's better than some of the centers that we had when we were good in the 90s, in the 2000s, but he's not very good. He's an okay offensive player, not a good defender. He'll block a few shots, not a great rebounder, but he's a big body, and we needed a big body. I mean, there isn't a lot better available. If it was up to me, I would take a hard look at Odin because he's a risk, but when he's healthy, he's a force on the court, and he's exactly what this team can use. But, it's hard to say we can get out of a guy like that.
Great. I got to cut you off there. The Exterminator is here. I'm going to say that that's a nickname for an NBA player to make it topical. Enjoyed having you on the show. Thanks for your insight.
No problem.
Talk to you soon. Bye.